The time is 6:31. Welcome to In Our Backyard, WORT's local news Monday through Thursday. I'm Tawana Steptoe.
And I'm Robert McClure. Tonight in our backyard, we'll have a special two-part show. For the first half, we'll be looking at racial profiling with Mayor Sue Bauman, State Senator Gwendolyn Moore, and local anti-racial profiling activists.
We'll have an update on local weather from Rob McClure.
And it's International Workers' Day, of course. Happy May Day. We'll examine immigrant worker rights and the historical Madison newspaper strike of 1977.
And here are today's top stories in our backyard for Wednesday, May 1st, 2002.
Well, racial profiling is a long-time problem in Madison and Dane County, as it is in much of the United States, defined by the Department of Justice as, quote, any police-initiated action that relies upon race, ethnicity, or national origin rather than behavior that leads to an individual being identified as engaged in criminal activity. Racial profiling has a long history, not only in the U.S. generally, but in Madison and Dane County specifically. Not only do copious anecdotes from the local race relations task force bear this out, but recent statistics from the U.S. Justice Department show that Wisconsin leads the nation in incarceration of persons of color in proportion to whites, and that Dane County is a leader within the state. And into that context, we throw the participants of tonight's discussion, who are Madison Mayor Sue Bauman, who will only be with us for a short time, unfortunately, but with us nonetheless. As well, we have State Senator Gwendolyn Moore from Milwaukee, and in the studio with us, we have Kajua Vang of the Asian Freedom Project and Jesse Kiley, the Student of Color Liaison for the Associated Students of Madison.
I'd like to thank all of our in-studio and phone guests for joining us tonight. And to get us started, with the U.S. Conference of Mayors meeting in Madison this summer, our town will be in the public spotlight. With issues like racial profiling and the incarceration rate of people of color currently hot topics, I'd like to begin our discussion by taking a look at race here in Madison. Mayor Bauman, how would you describe the state of race relations here in Madison?
I would describe them as not what I would like them to be. That is, I think that there is not the kind of interplay and ability to work with other people, regardless of race, while still recognizing different ethnic backgrounds and the diversity of the community in an appropriate fashion. One of my long-term goals is, as I think you know and alluded to with respect to the Task Force on Race Relations, is to find ways that people of color can be part of the community, can enjoy their own identity, but also can be considered a part of the mainstream of Madison and be appreciated for who they are and what they bring to this community.
Just to put some specifics on that, do you acknowledge that racial profiling is currently a problem in the city?
I would not be willing to say that, in particular, that the police will act differently towards people based upon their color. I will, however, acknowledge that there is a very strong discrepancy between the proportion of people of color in the community and the number of people of color who are cited for various crimes and who are involved in the criminal justice system. The police department has indicated over and over and over again to me that they respond to behaviors, not to the color of people's skin. I sincerely believe that they are doing their best. In the city, since the task force, one of the recommendations was to actually have recordings of the racial makeup of people who are stopped in traffic stops, as well as gender, and we are gathering statistics now for the first time, really, to see what the actual numbers look like on traffic stops. There are some real disparities. There are some real economic disparities in the community and in the nature of vehicles that are purchased, or not purchased, but driven by certain groups in the community, and that in part leads as well to some discrepancies that should not be occurring.
Jesse Kiley, you're here in the studio. You were one of the organizers of this past week's weekend's rally against racial profiling. Mm-hmm. What do you make of the comments that racial profiling is not actually occurring, and yet the statistics on incarceration vary somewhat, shall we say, between people of color and whites in this community?
Well, first of all, I think that we need to see racial profiling as more than just an issue of traffic stops. I think it affects people based on immigrant status, it affects people in education. The fact that people of color here in Madison graduate from high schools with a GPA of a full 1 point below white students is, you know, an important fact. And I think that that's another aspect of racial profiling. But I think what Mayor Bauman hasn't really discussed is that people of color in Madison are being arrested at a rate that's comparable to apartheid South Africa when they were arresting black Africans. And just that fact alone can't... I think must make us look at what's happening and recognize that something is happening specifically because of people's color of their skin. Whether or not people, whether or not it's in the laws or whether or not people maybe are consciously doing that, it is a fact that's going on. So I think my question for Mayor Bauman would be how can we actually stop this from happening, seeing as it's a fact that it's a huge problem? And also, even going beyond this, I'm wondering, at the showcase that's going to be happening in June this year of mayors from across the country who are coming here, Mayor Bauman has called this a showcase to show off Madison to these people or to these mayors. I'm wondering if Mayor Bauman is planning on including some of these horrific facts that, in my opinion, state-sponsored violence against people of color in this community.
Well, to respond to the last part, first of all, the city of Madison is not involved in establishing the program of what actually goes on as part of the event. So in terms of highlighting or showing anything of that nature, that we don't get to look at the program and talk about the content. What we are doing, however, is as the host city, we are responsible for the entertainment as well as the transportation, food, and beverage. And we have made a point in picking groups to entertain to make certain that different racial ethnic groups are represented to demonstrate the diversity of our community. For example, Call for Peace will be performing, as will Mati Salsa, and a number of others that I can't recall by name at the moment. But that was definitely part of my desire to make certain that the diversity of our community was recognized as part of this conference. As to your bigger question in terms of the fact that clearly people of color are not achieving at the same rates as whites in the community, are being incarcerated or arrested at disproportionate rates for their representation in the community, I don't have anything to say to defend it because I don't think it's defensible. I think there are some that we need to look beyond the fact that it's happening and try to determine what are the underlying factors. The fact that more black or African American men have been issued citations under the anti-loitering for the purposes of selling drugs ordinance was one of the factors that led me to veto the continuation of the law indefinitely, because I believe strongly that if an ordinance is having that kind of impact, that we need to look at what are the underlying reasons for that and not just simply say, well, the police are located in areas where there are more people of color, therefore we're going to have more people of color that are going to be issued citations. I think we need to take a look at what are those laws that are being utilized and are forming the basis for people of color being arrested and being incarcerated at greater rates than whites in Madison and in Dane County. I am totally convinced that it's not because people of color engage in significantly different activities or are that there's a higher level or percentage of criminal intent and criminal background, but that perhaps we have criminalized things that white America has criminalized things that are more normal activities of non-white America, and we need to really be looking at why is this so? Why have we made these activities crimes? And why are people of color being treated differently, or apparently, or seemingly being treated differently than Caucasians are?
Well, Mayor, I know you actually are, your time is short with us. Let me just put one more question to you, and that is currently the situation with the police department. We're going to be discussing in a minute a bill to require police in the state of Wisconsin all to keep a written record and an accounting of who they stop and why they stop them. Is that currently happening in Madison?
Yes,
It is.
It is.
And are there currently any specific laws on the books that prescribe racial profiling, or is that really left to the domain of the police department as such? Is it not a technical violation to really do it?
To be racially profiling is a technical violation, and it's abuse of discretion on the part of police officers. And if we were to determine by a review of citations issued or stops made that an officer was stopping a disproportionate number of people of color as compared to others, that would be a grounds for further investigation and potentially discipline. If it could be established that there was an intentional pattern or practice going on that was having that kind of detrimental and discriminatory impact.
Well, with that, we'll let you go. Thanks for joining us this evening.
You're welcome.
We were speaking with Mayor Sue Baumann there. We will continue our discussion, though. Kajwa Vang, you're in the studio with us. Any responses, any comments from the things that the mayors have said?
Yes. My name is Kajwa, and I'm here on behalf of Asian Freedom Project, a grassroots community organization that seeks to change the social and political culture of this environment so that young, low-income Southeast Asians or Asian Americans can have a better voice. And what concerns me about what Mayor Sue Baumann has said is I know that she mentioned Call for Peace and several other dance performances as like the as diversity for the mayor's conference. Unfortunately, these two organizations do not represent what is happening within Madison, and that is not a fair representation for this mayor's conference in Madison. And I know people from both organizations pretty well. The other thing I'd like to say to her is, where can we get, as a public community, where can we get this collection of data that the police have? I'd like to get my hands on it, because if, in fact, it's only for the city council members to look at, if, in fact, it's only for the mayor or the police department to look at, how do we know as people of color or community members, how do we know that these testimonies or these collection are really happening? And how do we know that racial profiling isn't occurring if it's left to the police to decide if it's racially profiling or not?
Well, perhaps that's a good segue, actually, into talking to Senator Gwendolyn Moore, who's on the line with us. Thanks to you for joining us as well.
Hi, Kajwa. How
Hi.
Are you?
Good.
Good. I'm really happy to be here. I hope you can hear me. I'm on a cell phone.
So far, you're coming in loud and clear, so everyone here can hear you.
I was listening with great interest to the mayor and listening to Kajwa's follow-up question, and indeed, that's why I've introduced Senate Bill 238 to sort of, I first want to commend the city of Madison. Their police chief is the only police chief that was on the racial task force committee, police chief that is actually voluntarily wanted to collect these data. And Kajwa really raised the most important point. If these data are not analyzed, it doesn't tell us anything. If the public is not able to look at it and to review it, then it won't do any good. What Senate Bill 238 does is it requires the Department of Transportation and the Department of Justice to analyze, to crunch numbers on those data, because they might tell us any number of things. It might, for example, tell us something that the mayor alluded to, that people of color have more raggedy cars. We might learn from collecting these data that indeed people of color have older model cars and they're being cited because of this. I do recall that the police chief of San Antonio Texas, I believe, came to us and found that they had found a great number of Hispanics that were cited as they collected data. But what they learned from that is that they had to work with the Hispanic community to try to help non-English-speaking Hispanics get their driver's licenses. This bill also calls for collecting those data because we want to improve the safety of drivers and motorists on the road, as well as police officers. We want to improve the training of police officers, because racial profiling certainly is a very tacky way to enforce laws. It's a lazy way. And what this bill in particular calls for is documenting every single motor stop, whether it's to assist a motorist who's had a breakdown on the road or someone who's been speeding, because very often, most often, racial profiling occurs and there are absolutely no records of those stops. Police officers, those deputy sheriffs, whoever, are stopping people, and when there is not, when they really have not committed any violation of the law, then it goes and there's no ticket, then there's no way of comparing those things. You know, law enforcement is very subjective. Someone might stop me on the road and decide to give me a break because I'm a woman, although that's never really happened. And they may decide that they need to explore a little bit more.
Senator,
you know, they may need to search the car or give a ticket, and may not give a break to a person of color who happens to be a male. These are the things that I think we can learn if we in fact collect these data.
Senator Moore, I'm curious if collecting these data will be. The police will claim this will be burdensome, as I expect that they might, and so leading from that into what sort of chances this bill has in the state legislature as well. Do other states in the union require this sort of thing?
Well, actually, as quiet as it's kept, we're working very closely with the State Troopers Association. I think Wisconsin police chiefs have contacted me, and they have said, Senator Moore, we do not want to be regarded as trying to protect racial profiling. We simply want to streamline this and make sure it is not burdensome. We have had indication from other states that you can really put together something very quickly, a checklist, that you can use technology to input data and information very quickly, that it does not have to be burdensome. Certainly, this legislation does not intend to put police officers in jeopardy as they make these stops. We want it to be done as expeditiously as possible.
We're almost at the end of our time. I just wanted to just have just a second, if you can tell us where this bill is currently, will it come up for public hearing, and sort of where is it in the process?
Okay, well, we're out of session right now. We're out of session, so the bill, Senator Gary George heard this bill in his committee on the last day of session, unfortunately. But we're going to reintroduce it again next session and build upon the momentum that we have gotten, particularly from the students. They have just been a blessing, if I can call it that, to this effort to collect data on racial profiling. Their energy and their enthusiasm and consistency all across the state.
All right, well,
really put this issue on the map in Wisconsin.
All right, well, thank you, Gwen Moore, for joining us. We'll be following the progress of the bill in the next session. That was State Senator Gwendolyn Moore from Milwaukee, and we just have about 30 seconds for each of you, but I want to let either and both of you respond to any of the stuff that's been said here today. Kajua Vang, to you first, I guess.
I just wanted to say goodbye to Senator Moore. But I guess she's off. I just wanted to say that through our own investigation of collecting stories of our own, out of 104 stories that we collected, 42 of those stories came from Madison itself. And out of the 42 stories that we collected from young people 16 to 24, none of them have ever been they weren't given citations. Therefore, it's not on the police record. Mm-hmm. Not only that, all of them said that they were racially profiled. None of them said that they were stopped for legitimate reasons. And this is the reason why, as a community organization, we've gone out and done it for ourselves, because we couldn't trust the kind of data that was out there. So I'm just telling you all that without the information within the community's hand, like, we can't trust what's out there, and we have to do it ourselves until they do it right.
All right. Thanks for coming in. And Jesse Kiley.
One last thing I'd like to say is that I'd commend Sue Bauman and the rest of the people here in Madison who are trying to get legislation and efforts here underway to collect data on racial profiling. But one thing that we need to remember is that it's not just citations, like Kajwa said, but people of color are disproportionately incarcerated, not just cited. And so that's a very important aspect that we need to remember and that isn't being addressed. And I would call upon the people of Madison to have their voices be heard and make the city follow up on their commitment here.
Okay, well, we'd like to thank all of our on-air guests, Jesse Kiley and Kajwa Vang, who are here in the studio with us, and Mayor Sue Bauman and State Senator Gwendolyn Moore, who spoke with us over the phone. We're going to end our segment tonight with a piece of spoken word from Jesse Kiley. I understand he performed this at last Saturday's rally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this is a piece, it's called Infinite Justice, and I basically wrote it after September 11th. And the tragedy that happened then, but also I think we've been having tragedies ever since then, especially with President Bush's rhetoric about having infinite justice nowadays. And this is my response to that. So I'm cutting kind of into the middle of this, so sorry about that. My hopes are confused by the daily musings of patriotic news and the views of commanders-in-chief named after leaves and trees, Bush whacking through these litanies of vengeance against the enemies, of freedom and democracy, and spitting sudden epiphanies of fighting terror with terror and calling it infinite justice. And I love things infinite, but I cannot trust this, because I don't feel the divinity of this infinity of justice. And I can't help but wonder, what direction does this justice flow? Does it go only from 5,911s? Has time just begun because it's the year 2001? Is justice just the creation of the brand new millennium? Because if this was infinite justice, then justice would be paid to the 5,000 lynchings of past decades. But this justice is just focused in raising rally cries for reigning... for the death from the skies, and so I despise this infinite justice where everything is either or. You're either patriot or against the war, so do your duty and hang a glory from your door. But I deplore how we be waving these banners like the spangled by divinity, like God wiped his ass in the flag and called it holy, just so you can be telling me that these colors don't bleed, as if between these red and white bars and these one and blue stars aren't the scars of police brutality and the burned shadows of Hiroshima babies and the frozen blood at Wounded Knee and the one of her Puerto de Kenyas ripped into sterility and the 41 bullets in Modelo's body. And these colors don't bleed, you be telling me, but all I can see is that crazy flag waving warped just for Halloween and green marine fatigues, and he's screaming at me that tonight he's gonna kill an Afghani because he doesn't need rifles in a palm. This isn't Vietnam, he tells me. It's the Taliban, so maybe we be dropping bombs from Mazar-e Sharif to Kabul to Kandahar and anything in between, and maybe a few villages in a Red Cross building. And these colors don't bleed, he's telling me, but I'm not gonna wave his flag until I can embroider his borders in sin and pin the emblems of the strange hanging fruits of char black limbs lynched beneath this dawn's early light and burn within this eternal night of infinite justice.
All right. Thank you very much. That was Jesse Kiley. A little spoken word performance. Thanks again to all of you for joining us.